Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to a special edition of the PRF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap, here sitting at the table with you, and also we have Sister Adia Sanders, who I'll get to in a minute. We thank you for taking your time out of this holiday schedule. Tonight's subject, we're going to be talking about student loan debt, but not just student loan debt. We're going to be talking about student loan independence. And we chose that word, and we thought it was going to be appropriate for today, that we will be able to have a show talking about freedom and independence on Independence Day. So just sit back, whatever you're doing out there on this 4th of July, just go ahead and continue doing it, but we really want everybody to just listen. We want everybody to call in and chime in and let everybody else know, you know, that there's individuals that are out there that are going through certain situations because of student loan debt or other decisions, and let's just see how we can turn this discussion into a powerful series of really about student loan debt and helping individuals to get free from the bondage that we know some of you may be listening to us are under. So with that, let me welcome the other host of the show sitting down at the table with us, Sister Adia Sanders. How you doing, cousin?
Hello, everyone. Happy 4th of July. Hope you're enjoying today.
Well, we're going to get into it, and for those of you who are listening, if you're listening by telephone, we ask that all you have to do is just press 1 on your phone or your dial pad. That'll show us on the switchboard that you're looking to sit down at the table with us and join in. We really are anticipating you to bring your comments, bring whatever it is with your experiences that you think will be applicable, because to be honest with you, Sister Adia, it's not about everything that we know. It's about what other people are actually experiencing in their lives. So with that, let's go ahead and get it started. What I wanted to do, Adia, was this. I wanted really to just, for those who may be listening for the first time or who have been following us as we've been dealing week after week on the subject of debt in one shape or another, I really wanted to recap, because as we deal with this subject of student loan debt, which we know is a touchy subject and one that is not talked about too much, we wanted to recap from last week. In last week's show, we really just dealt with encouragement. That was the whole purpose of last week's show, really being encouraging to individuals who are going through certain debt situations, have made certain decisions in their life regarding debt. And then, let me just run down a couple of the things that God gave us to give to everybody last week. We talked about pray for the release of pride. We gave a scripture of Proverbs 16:18. We were encouraging everybody by letting everybody know that having debt doesn't mean that you're a failure. We also said that the debt that you have is not permanent, because we want everybody to understand just because you have debt right now doesn't mean that you're going to have that debt for the rest of your life. And I think that's something that's going to be key in tonight's discussion, Adia, because student loan debt is something that people are paying on for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we talked about last week, what is that, is never too late to ask for help. It may seem like it's too late, but it's never too late. As long as you have life and breath inside of you, there's an opportunity for you to find that right person or to go to that right place to be able to say, hey, I need some help in my debt situation. From Brother Saeed about 2 weeks ago, the encouragement with patience, you know, as you're going through your debt situation, your debt challenge, you have to be patient and allow God to work some of those things out that you're not able to work out on your own strength. And I think that's a good thing to do. Another thing of encouragement was, don't try to pay off your debts more than one at a time. You know, tackle possibly just one debt at a time so that you can see some progress. And as Brother Feaster, in his absence, would say, celebrate the small victories. So if there's 10 debts that are cumulatively keeping you bound, keeping you, you know, real tight when it comes to money, look at paying off one debt. And then when you pay off that one debt, you praise God, I'm happy. Thank you, God, that you allowed me to take care of that one debt. Now I only have 9. 9 is still less than 10, amen? And the last thing was commit. Make a commitment to yourself. that from this day forward, you're going to be a better manager of your debt, or you're going to start managing your debt. So that was what we talked about last week. Sister D, I know you weren't here last week, but we are really looking to just make sure everybody gets blessed in the way that God would want them to be blessed, and hoping that what we can say here tonight or this afternoon is something that's going to really help individuals that are listening out there. We don't always do this, but there was a scripture that I had for the last couple of weeks and just never had an opportunity, I would say, to bring it out. And this is what I think was the right timing for today. The scripture that God gave to me for tonight's show is Jeremiah 32, verse 26 to 27. And it says, "Then the message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me?" So by way of encouragement, all the listeners and Sister Dia sitting down with us, that last part of the scripture, when God said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" Whatever you're going through with this student loan debt, it's not too hard for God. And I think if you hold on to that scripture and realize and get that deep down into your spirit that there's nothing too hard for God, even the student loan debt. When you say even the student loan debt, it kind of diminishes a little bit because it places God higher than what the debt is. So from there, anybody who's willing to share anything tonight, please do so. We are ready to get on it. And Sister Adia, did you have anything before we got further started in tonight's episode? Sister Adia. All right, so let me just start. One of the things that we wanted to talk about was, and Sister Paula will be sitting down with us momentarily, what are some steps to get out of debt? You know, we really believe that when we're talking about debt as a whole, but specifically when we're talking about student loan debt, evaluate whatever your condition is or your situation, which is going to take some honesty. It's going to take you being able to say, okay, I know that I'm over my head when it comes to my student loans or my other debts, and let me see what it is that I need to do. What type of adjustments do I need to make? What type of honesty do I need to be with myself and also before God? The other one was make a commitment to change certain types of identifiable behaviors, you know, whether it's seeking better employment, whether it's changing your spending habits, whether it's strengthening your relationship with God or with people or with your family members. You know, family members can help us out when we get in situations. Other people who we never would have thought can help us out when we get into certain situations. Another one I would say is obtain your credit reports. I think it's really, really important when we're talking about debt as a whole that if you don't get a copy of your credit report, you don't see what other people see. And at the time that you go to apply for credit and they give you a response such as your interest rate is going to be about 19%, you need to know that going in before you apply for credit. So if you have some challenges, one of the best things that you can do is to apply for or just call all three of the credit companies, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, and get a copy of all three of your credit reports. Don't just get one, but get all three of them. And then the last thing that we talked about was pray that God will send the right man or woman of God. And this is for those of us who believe. And if you don't believe, you can still ask that same question. Pray for the right person for God to be able to use that individual in the manner that he or she needs to be used to be able to help you in that situation. And everybody who's been sitting at the table with us and listening to us at the table for ever since last year knows that 2 Kings 4 is really one of the backdrops for this whole thing. So before I go on, Sister Dia, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Well, I did just, you know, I think to continue in the spirit of encouragement, because student loans can be very overwhelming, and a lot of times people may not know what to do, how the process works. And so there's maybe two to three things I'd like to say. The first one is, for those that are listening, if you're currently in school or thinking about going or have children that are in school and have student loans, please just be mindful that you only want to borrow what you need. I went to school and experienced and saw a lot of students who would get more than they needed so that they can get back a refund check to help them out throughout the year. But then they're not realizing that in the future they're going to have to pay that money back. So the short-term fixes that you have a couple of thousands of dollars in the pocket, but the long term is that you're going to have to pay that money back. So I've always wanted to make sure that I informed people of that, just because I saw it. I did not partake of it myself, because I had a scholarship and that helped me out with school. So I didn't have a need for it. But when I realized what people were doing, I felt like they weren't counting the cost. The second one is that when you get your student loan, and after you've graduated, if you are going to continue with your education as far as like getting a master's degree or a second bachelor's degree, just keep in mind that your loan can be deferred. You can still pay on it as you so desire, but you can get a deferment on student loan, even if you don't have another loan out, if you're just, going back to school, paying out of pocket, using your GI Bill. So that was a good incentive to help people out, especially, if you're paying for your education out of pocket. That's just one less expense that you have to pay, if you're able to do so. And the third thing is, don't be afraid to call the student loan office. I mean, they really do want to work with you. I've had to call myself when I first started back going to school for my first master's degree. And I didn't understand, what all I needed to do. And I just called because I was concerned. I didn't want to fall behind in payments, because you hear the scary stories that if you don't pay, it hurts your credit. It is true. The student loans do not go anywhere. Even if you file bankruptcy, they do not go anywhere. It's just like child support. You're going to pay it until your face is looking up at the sun. So one of the things I learned is that I call. I'm proactive when it comes to my student loan. And just a small testimony is that they had said that I owed them, that I needed to start paying back, And I said, well, I started school, and I said I was getting emails. I was calling back, and the number that I was calling back, I couldn't get through anybody. So I said, let me try one more time. I tried about maybe 30 days later, was able to talk to the lady. She said it was an error on their part. So they were able to fix their error. And they had reported it on my credit. They had to go back and fix it on my credit report that I was not, in fact, late. And so I just want to let you know, those are just those three things. So, don't get more money than you need for your student loans, because you are going to have to pay it back. Don't be afraid to call to talk to them if you're having any, financial problems. They will work with you. They will do a forbearance for you, depending on what your situation is. If you are currently in school, make sure that your loan is being deferred so that you're not having to pay it back, especially if you're paying for your schooling out of your own pocket, out of your earned income. So those are just some things that I've learned over the years. I'm still paying on my student loan. I will be glad when I don't owe this money back to nobody.
Amen.
Just to tell everybody, just to stay encouraged, because it is, you can definitely do it. You can pay off your student loan, and they have a lot of programs out there that will help you.
Thank you for that, Sister Dia. And let me piggyback off of a couple of things that you said. I'm just like you when I'm talking. Or when y'all are talking, I'm writing down notes, and I've heard y'all say when I'm talking, y'all are writing down notes, because in the big scheme of things, we are humble enough to admit to everybody that we don't know it all, and we don't profess like we know it all. We come to this table to be able to share and also to learn, and it's a two-way process. So you said something very, very key, and I'm glad that we're still handling this subject of debt delicately, and doing it with the spirit of encouragement, because that's what people need. People don't need to hear about all the mistakes. People don't need to hear about all the bad choices that they made. I believe that most people already know that. When I was facing bankruptcy about 12 years ago, I knew the mistakes that I made. I mismanaged my money. I robbed Peter to pay Paul. I did those things that I teach about right now, because God has brought us through those things. So, again, as a way of encouragement, when you said borrow what you need, I think that's very, very, very important. I was having a conversation with a listener a little while before the show, and one of the things that I wanted to encourage to the listener was that, yes, we've done that. I could tell you that on on a personal note, I have borrowed money, or I had a student, have a student loan right now for being in school. And I remember getting the money, but it was more than what, like you were talking about, Adia, it was more money than actually was needed for the tuition. So here's the thing. If I got more money than what I need for tuition, the thing that I was able to do was to be able to actually just put some of that money or the money to the side so that if I needed it later, then it was there. Because of the fact of what you just said, Adia, the fact that when it comes time to pay that loan off or when you stop going to school, you're going to have to pay for it. And refund checks, you know, let me talk about the refund checks. Having worked in higher education, one of the things that really, really disturbed me was I would see, and I won't name any institutions, I won't even do that, but I can tell you that it was a thing of discouragement as I saw students after students after students. I had 350 students assigned to me. And the thing was, I would see how students were coming in not being serious about school, but they were in school because they were unemployed. They were in school because they were underemployed. They were in school because they knew or heard from somebody else that if I go to school, as long as you're enrolled, then you'll get X amount of dollars. And then after they pay for the tuition, you'll have this amount of money left over. And people have made those choices and made those decisions. And by making those choices and making those decisions, one of the things that I found out was a lot of people were placing themselves in bondage because I don't think they were looking at the long-term effects, as you were talking about, Adia. I don't think they were looking at the fact that once I finished, if I stop going to school 6 months later, guess what's going to happen? Whoever I borrowed that money from is going to be asking me to start making those student loan payments. And so it became a thing of discouragement to me just to watch that happen in the process of our higher education system. And so that is one of the things that's near and dear to my heart, Adia, is that when you borrow more than what you need, it's okay if you hold on to it, but once you spend it, then that's where the problems come in at. And for me, Adia, and I'll let you jump in if you want to, I look at the fact that it's not so much that this is what somebody did. I don't want everybody just to harp on that. The bigger question for me is, Sister Adia, is this. Why did they have to go that route? Where were other people to encourage them and say, okay, let's look at another option, because if you take that option, here are some of the other consequences that's going to happen. The things that you were talking about, Adia, if nobody's out there saying that to anybody, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with us as individuals that are supposed to be in community and knowing each other and being around each other on a constant basis. But then there's also something inherently wrong with the system of education that we hold so high in this country that are seeing what students are doing, but yet enable them inside of that process. The other thing I would say is when you said, Adia, you know, don't be afraid to call. If you go back to one of the first things that I said last week was pray for the spirit of pride to be taken away from you. So by you telling everybody, look, don't be afraid to call. You weren't even on with us last week. That was a very, very good point that you made. Don't be afraid to call, which means that you're saying, you know what, I'm not going to let the enemy hold this pride thing over my head, and I'm going to seek the help that I need to seek. So I'm glad you brought that out. And I appreciate the fact that you said you didn't want to fall behind. That's encouraging to somebody, because when you have that type of spirit that you don't want to fall behind, I'm just going to believe that God is willing to do some things that you can't do, that you can't see that's going on behind the scenes, because you're being proactive. So exactly. With that, Sister Paula, are you sitting down with us right now?
I am. Yes, I am.
I got you. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fabulous on this 4th of July. How are you?
We are doing good. We are doing good. Chime in if you have anything. If not, just sit back and listen to the conversation.
Certainly.
Let me tell you one of the things that I was really thinking about. I was thinking about this thing about relieving the pressure. And we talked about this maybe 2 weeks ago, and that's one of the things that we really want individuals to be able to get out of all of these discussions that we're actually bringing to the table. We're bringing to the table, look, you're not going to get out of student loan debt just overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. So let's just be real with people and say, if you've asked for a student loan, you're going to have that student loan according to the terms of that agreement. So, mm-hmm. Sadia, you said something very, very key. You cannot discharge student loans through a bankruptcy. You can get rid of a whole bunch of other debts, but child support, IRS tax or taxes, and student loan debt are the three things that you will have until those debts are paid off. Now, are there other options? There are several other options out there, and I don't think I'm qualified to talk about all those options. We'll get a professional who deals in those areas over the weeks to come. So the reality is you have the student loan, you've incurred the debt, and now you have to pay it. What can you say, Adia, to help individuals navigate through their financial situation, their financial lives, and actually get this debt paid off? You mentioned two things. You mentioned forbearance and deferment. So for those who may not know about it, can you expound on that for the listeners, Adia?
I'm going to try my best, and I may need some help.
All right.
Because I'm trying to remember when I got the forbearance. The forbearance, I got the forbearance because at that time I did not financially, I was working, but I did not have enough money to pay back my student loan. So basically what I had to do was to call the student loan, talk to one of their representatives, and explain to them what my financial situation was. And based on whatever the criteria was, they were able to find a program for me that would basically put my loan in forbearance until I was able to pay. And I think my forbearance was like 6 months. If after that six, and the interest rate still accrued, if after that 6 month period that I was able to, my financial situation changed, then I would go back and I started making my monthly payments. If my payments were too high to where it was not, I guess, conducive to what my financial situation was, then they also worked with me to lower my monthly payment. It did not change the overall amount of the loan. That still remained the same, but the amount I had to pay back fit my family budget at the time. The deferment is basically saying that we're going to put off you having to pay back your loan, and I would like to say that the interest, I don't know if the interest is still accruing. I don't know. But with the deferment, basically it says that you are a student that is in school, getting your education, so we are not going to have you be responsible for paying this loan back because you're currently
right.
Currently in a student status. And so that's
right.
Basically what the deferment is. You're a student and they don't, I guess, whatever their, I guess, the procedure or their process is that students don't have to pay back. But you still can if you so choose to.
Mm-hmm.
You still can. You still have the option to pay it back. The other thing is that I also want to talk about, too, is getting, if you can, they also have fixed interest rates, because I don't know if people know, but I was looking at the news 2-3 days ago, and they were talking about I guess the interest rates on loans, like, is supposed to be increasing. And I don't know if it was specifically for the student loan, but it was like from 3.4% to 6.8%. You can get a fixed interest rate on your student loan so that no matter how much it may go up, you will still be locked in to that interest rate. And I did that back in maybe 2005. So my interest rate, it's like maybe 3-something or 4-something. I cannot remember. And I'll be honest, I don't know what it is right now, but I know that I got it fixed, locked in,
mm-hmm.
at that interest rate so that it cannot increase over the life of the loan. So those are just some things that I've had to learn from just my own experiences, knowing and not knowing and trying to figure it all out. And, I mean, they're very nice people. I mean, they'll work with you. They really will. It's what we ignore for whatever our reasons are or just, you know, aren't mature enough to call back to let them know what your situation is, that a lot of times it gets people in trouble and it causes more than it does helping it.
Really, really. Appreciate that. Thank you so much for those comments. We do have a caller, Sister Dan. We'll come back to that in a minute. Caller, last 4-1-9-5-9. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We are doing well. We're doing well. Good to hear your voice, my brother.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise. I mean, just a few observations. I mean, you know, I think, you know, the national data right now is saying that basically 64% of future jobs that will actually allow us to kind of pay back these college debts and allow us to live a reasonably secure economic life are going to require a BA. So the choice of getting a BA is a real big one. I think the two things I just worry about as I've been watching is one is, you know, once we get into college, there are a lot of systems and processes in place with credit card companies to allow us to get much more access to credit than we actually deserve. That is the underpinning of the housing crisis, where people were allowed to buy things that were far beyond their means, where they did not have the economics to actually pay them back. My dad's lesson to me was, if you cannot pay back that credit card bill at the end of the month, then you can't afford it. And if you are going to pay 20 to 30% on a meal that you had 6 months ago, and you're going to do that every month for 3 months, then you're an absolute fool. So I think we have to show personal discipline when we have access to credit. And then I think my second comment is, there are places like, if you look at like these predatory institutions, University of Phoenix would be one of the ones that comes to mind right away, where basically they're encouraging you to get loans, and University of Phoenix has a 6% graduation rate. And anybody would say, if you came to them as an employee and said, hey, I have a degree from the University of Phoenix, would laugh at that degree. We have to be careful to not run off to the most popular TV commercial, get that degree, allow them to benefit from the fact that we get these loans, and they will drop us at a second's notice once we no longer have those loans. 6% graduation rate from University of Phoenix, it's a $2 billion a year for-profit company. And so there's a lot of fake stuff that's happening with college degrees, so I would just kind of say it's not a comment but an observation, which is the college degree is becoming more and more important, but our ability to be astute around actually what does this college offer in terms of college graduation and job placement is really, really, really important, because otherwise you're just going to be used by a lot of these institutions that are now structured to make a huge profit and do not care one single bit about A, whether you get a degree, or B, whether that degree has any relevancy in the real world or not.
And while I got you, if you got another minute or two, I was just having this conversation about institutions like that, and I said I wasn't, you know, it's not about putting anybody on blast, but, you know, whatever the call is calling to say, then, you know, I roll with it from there. And that's one of the things that I saw working in higher education when I first started several years ago. I was seeing a lot of students that were coming to the institution where I worked at, and they were coming from the University of Phoenix. And the fact that it is a, you know, people have to understand that it is a for-profit organization. So therefore, we're not saying that, I'm not going to say that they don't care, you know, that you don't have anybody in the whole administration and faculty that don't care about students. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, at the end of the day, they are responsible to their shareholders. They're responsible to the board members. And for-profit means that that's what they're looking to make. So if they're not profitable, they will no longer be an institution. And that's the difference between going to a state-run institution and a for-profit. There's a lot more of a stronghold, so to speak, for them to be under pressure to get money. And I saw this, my brother, and I saw it, and I saw it, and I saw it. And students would come to our institution with a lot of student loan debt, and then they're adding more student loan debt because whatever happened at University of Phoenix, and I kept seeing it. And it just was a heartbreaking thing to see that there was nobody saying, okay, how are you going to pay off these student loan debts? after the institution, after you stop going to the school. And I think of one big reason, brother, that a lot of people were at the institution where I initially started in higher education was because they were coming up on this six-month period.
Yeah.
And if they didn't get back in school, what was going to happen? Them student loans was going to call due.
That's right.
And the tuition, I mean, there was an instance, I dealt with undergrad and graduate students. And the graduate education, the graduate tuition rate at that time was about $300 a credit hour, compared to about 400 and something a credit hour at the other institution. So guess what? That's a lot of student loan money that is in the pot that is waiting to be, you know, calculated and have to be paid off within that six-month period. And what I'm trying to encourage individuals is that when you have so much debt and you have to go to school in order to survive, that's not a good thing. There's mm-hmm. something broken within our family structure. There's something broken within our, I'm going to say, within our church structure, and there's something broke within our educational system that we know this is happening over and over and over again. And my question is, this is Independence Day. Let us as individuals say, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to break free of the chains so that we can have independence, because as Sister Adia said, whenever she comes back, she's been paying on these student loan debts for a minute. And let me ask you this, bro, if you have the time. If not, let me know. I know a little bit about your story, but with the fact that you just said, your dad said, look, if you can't pay it off at the end of the month, then you can't afford it. I think more young people need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
To the adults who are listening to the show, you need to be telling your children that. If you can't pay it off at the end of the month, then you can't afford it, especially as we're talking about credit card debt. And so as we move in and really deal with this subject of student loan debt, as a parent, and I'll ask you to the listener that, or the caller that's on the line, when you were going through college, you know, what were some steps that your parents had taken so that you were under this gun of having all these student loans to pay back and being upheld, you know, as what we see a lot of people are going through in this country right now?
Well, I mean, I think a few things. One is I was real fortunate to get a big scholarship. It was, I mean, at that point it was, you know, $20,000 a year, which was basically half my tuition just because of whatever. So I was relatively successfully academically and athletically, so I got a $20,000 a year scholarship. So that was a one big part of it. But I also think when I showed up, I could have signed up for four different credit cards. And all those credit cards would have allowed me, and some of my friends did this. They signed up for every credit card, and they bought the latest clothes and the best music and, you know, the fanciest X, Y, and Z. Some actually, you know, used their credit cards to buy a car, and that was great. They were cool for a minute, but I'm like, they literally ended up, you know, buying stuff that you buy a dinner that costs you $25 at that juncture in the 80s. And by the time you paid it off, you paid $75. And by the way, if you bought a car that cost you $24,000, by the time you paid it off, you'd actually paid $54,000 for that car. Mm. And so it's just this notion of you got to demonstrate discipline. That's the whole, from my perspective, that's the whole failure of what we've just gone through, which is people bought these houses and they said, I can afford a $200,000 house if I was really being honest, but I want the $500,000 house and I'm going to buy that. I'm not going to have any furniture in my house because I can't afford it. And oh, by the way, please God, have the economy keep rising, so I can pay off this debt and have some equity in my house. And it just didn't turn out for folks, and folks are struggling because of it. So I think a lot of it is just having that discipline to say, yes, you can get Discover, MasterCard, Visa, the Black Card. You can do all those things when you're in college, but you actually can't afford to do it. And then I think the harder part for me is these predators, these institutions that are allowed to take advantage of young people who are 18 years old going into college and saying, hey, just get this loan, come to our institution, you'll be okay. Be careful to make sure you look at what percent of the young people who are graduating from that institution are actually getting jobs today? Because if you assume that amount of loans, you know, I'm up here in Boston, Boston College, $58,000 a year. So if you're going to assume $100,000 in debt, you better have a high percentage come out and actually have a job that's going to pay 40 or 50. It doesn't have to pay everything today, but it needs to pay 40 or 50,000, and you need to know 90% of BC graduates who do well, apply themselves, X, Y, and Z, actually land jobs. And the truth of the matter is, if you go to University of Phoenix, you go to Everett, you go to most of the, you know, the schools that are advertising on TV during the primetime hours, there's probably going to be less than a 10% chance that you graduate, and it's going to be less than a 10% chance that you get a job. Don't let them, you know, set you in a financial ruin, you and your family in a financial ruin.
Thank you, my brother. Hey, we appreciate you every time you come and sit at the table. Thank you so much for your comments. If you have anything else you want to say, you know, you want to stay around, please, you are definitely welcome. You know, what our brother just said to everybody was take a look at the type of job that you are looking to get, the type of job or profession that you're looking to get into. And here's the reality. Most people that go to college, I could tell you from being an educator, most people who go to college, Adia, do not know what they want to do. Not only do they not know what they want to do when they graduate from college, they don't even know what degree program they want to pursue.
Hmm.
Most students that go to college, my experience, been in this thing for a little while now, most of them that go to college are undecided. Or they change their major within the first 2 years of their program. So that makes a big difference. You wanted to be a doctor when you first decided to go to college, but then you change your mind and you want to be a school teacher. Well, you're looking at a very significant amount of salary between the two. Or maybe you say, I wanted to be a school teacher, and I'm going to go and I'm gonna take up math or English. And then second year of college, you decide, you know what, I want to go into business. Well, you know, those are some tough decisions that our young people really need to focus on, and even our older folks. You know, I went to an institution, or I worked for an institution initially that was not just young individuals. It was, you know, grown folks like us. You know, I had a guy that come in there one time that was like 80 years old. He was like 83 that said, I want to start to go to college. Had seven credit hours, I think, in his past. You know what? We laid everything out for him, and I think he probably wouldn't have had a bunch of student loan debt. But what was he going to do with that? What if he would have decided he needed to have student loans to pay off, pay for his college? You know, that makes a very big difference. So did you have anything else, Sister Dia, before we, you know, keep on going?
Well, I was just going to say, I was sitting here in shock to hear you say that a lot of people don't know what it is that they want to do when they go to school, because I knew in eighth grade, I was living in North Carolina, and in eighth grade, I knew I wanted to major in political science, minor in history, and I knew what kind of school that I wanted to go to. Now, you know, of course, things begin to shift as you gain more knowledge, because I didn't really have a lot of knowledge in eighth grade about colleges and different things like that. But planning, I started planning, and I think a lot of times, for whatever the reason is, for different individuals that may not know what it is that they want to do, I think that planning plays a big role in that, because like you said, if you start going to school to be a teacher, then you realize, for some people, and I know this to be true, I can't pass Foxy's exam, which must be passed in order to teach in any state. Well, maybe I'll go and, you know, major in music. I mean, significant difference in the class that you've taken. Now, instead of being in school for 4 years, now you got to be in school for another, maybe a full school year plus another semester, another half of a school year. So now you're looking at more costs being added to the original 4 years. So I think that, especially if you're using student loans or the Parent PLUS loans, I think that all of those things have to go into the planning. And a lot of times, you know, like I've heard people say, well, you know, I just want my child to win a scholarship. And my comment to a person who made that comment was, well, why not start saving now so maybe you can have something to give your child to help them out with school. If it's nothing but $3,000, say your child earns, you know, if the school tuition is $20,000 a year, and say they get a scholarship for $15,000. Well, if you have $5,000 saved up, guess what? You're going to be able to help your child pay for their first year of school, and they won't have to take a loan out. Now, even though you may not have any more money that you saved up towards their education, but at least you have a year to plan on what you're going to do. If it means that, you know, that child has to work and maybe do work study or something like that. But I just, there's so many different facets when it comes to student loans and just paying for school, period. And I think the more that parents are educated, and I don't mean going to school and having a degree, but the more that parents are educated, the more it can support their child, young adult student, to help them best financial situation and say, hey, maybe you don't want to get this much for a student loan, to kind of show them, you know, the long-term effect. Or like you said, maybe getting with somebody to help them make a better decision, somebody that is going to be honest with them, that's going to be upfront, because maybe the parent doesn't know the ins and outs of the student loan and the pros and the cons. You know, just having somebody that you can talk to, you know, even if it's, I don't know if you're talking to a financial advisor about that or, you know, but somebody that you can talk to that can help you make a better decision. I think that that's so, is so needed, you know, just the whole planning part. You know, if you know you're going to get a scholarship because of your grades academically or, you know, the athleticism, those are things that you still need to plan for, because is it going to cover all of your books? You know, what other factors need to be taken into consideration? So I think out of everything that you said and the other gentleman said, you know, I just hear planning and the parents being eligible, and it doesn't take having a degree to be able to ask those, you know, important questions. I mean, I look at it this way. If you know how to pay a bill, then you know what types of questions to ask. How long is this loan going to be for? What's the life of it? What's the interest rate? And those kind of things can be very helpful to a young adult who probably has never had a bill in their name before, but the student loan is definitely going to be in their name unless they get a Parent PLUS loan. That's kind of, you know, that for right now.
You know, there's some, a lot of statistics that are out there, and there's an organization called New York Fed, and let me tell you, I had the opportunity to take a look at this website, and I don't know everything about the website, but I was looking up some information for the show today, and let me give you some figures about the average student debt per borrower. You know, I'm from Philly, so in Pennsylvania, it's $24,000. It's almost $25,000. That's the average student debt. In Georgia, it's almost $28,000, and Alabama is a little over $25,000. In Alabama and Georgia, $25,000. Those are salaries. Those are like good salaries in most of the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good salary. Okay, let me go on. North Carolina, where you're at, a little over 24,000. South Carolina, where Brother Feast is from, 25,400. So across the United States, the U.S. student loan debt or student debt per borrower is almost $25,000. You know what was interesting about those figures? It doesn't say for those who graduated from college.
Yeah.
It doesn't say those who graduated with a four-year degree or a two-year degree. So here's the reality. It doesn't matter whether you graduate or not. The debt is going to be whatever you borrowed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for people to understand. So as we continue the conversation, you know, we want people also to take in mind what are the other types of debt. If you have student loan debt, I think a lot of people who have it are going to be honest and say, you know what, that's not the only debt that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So having student loan debt is usually a debt that people get before they get a mortgage. And as our caller mentioned, the credit card debt is a debt that they get before the student loan debt is required to be paid back.
Yep.
So it's kind of like it's a shame that we have to deal with individuals, but it's also a good thing because it gives us an opportunity to minister to people. But at the same token, we always want to be proactive and try to encourage and help individuals to get out of that situation. student loan debt for most households in America is almost $35,000 per household.
Jeez.
So let's go back to the other figure, the other website that said the average debt of student loans for in America was $24,800. But for a household, that's $34,700. So that means you're not talking about just one person. Who are in the household? Are we talking about me, the parent, and my child? Are we talking about me and my spouse or my significant other?
Mm-hmm.
So that difference between $24,800 and $34,700 is coming from somewhere. It's coming from another individual. So that means it affects the whole household. And I'm going to tell you, it affects not just your household, but it affects everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about tithing for a long time on the PRF table right there. Could it be possible that if so many people were not in bondage to student loan debt, that they would be more cheerful givers when it comes to the things of God? But it's hard to give when you're restrained. And that's one of the things student loan debt actually does. It restrains individuals. And I want people to understand something else, or at least let me throw it out there. You know, all student loan debt is not going to always be $25,000. You know, in Alabama and Georgia and some of these southern states, you know, community colleges don't cost a lot. Let me give you an example. Community college in my area, for a full semester is like, one credit hour is like $90 a credit hour. So it's like $1,200 for a semester. And that's for a quality education. There's nothing wrong with the community college. I'm an advocate of the community and technical college, even though I work at four-year institution. I am an advocate of the two-year institution and also the community technical college. So let me say this. Somebody who is going to that community college where the debt, the student loan, or the amount of tuition is only $1,200 per semester. So at the end of that 2 years, we're talking about like $4,000. Really, it goes back to what our caller said. It depends on what type of job you have. Because those amounts are going to be whatever they are that you have to actually pay back. So I don't want everybody to think that, well, I'm good because it's only $24,000. It really depends on how much money you're earning and what your other debts look like. Because you could be paying $100 a month for a student loan, but would you want to pay $100? This is what I think about. Would I want to pay $100 a month for 20 years? We have to say that there's something inherently challenging with our system. Because we wouldn't teach that. No parent would say to a child, you know what, it's okay that you get $18,000 worth of debt and that you pay off only $35 a month. We trip out with the credit card companies for doing that, right?
Yeah.
So it's up to us as parents. You know, I have a child, one of my daughters, the middle one. She's going to a school that costs $52,000 a year. I'm very, very proud of her. She got a scholarship. But the scholarship didn't cover everything like our caller was talking about. So guess what? There's something that's going to have to be done to get the balance of that money for that tuition. I think where we're going to be going, Sister Adia, is we're really going to be talking about counting the cost, and we know that that's a scripture out of Luke 14 that I think we're going to continuously mention every time we have this show. And also we're going to look at some words from God that talk about planning. Because it's something that has to be done. It has to be done in advance. I think there's a lot of parents that have co-signed for loans for their children. And I think sometimes it comes out of guilt from at least my experience in talking to other parents. You know what? I didn't get a chance to go to college. I didn't graduate. So I want this for my child. That's a good mindset to have, but you still have to count the cost.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to plan for it. Most parents do not start saving for their child's college education upon birth. And any financial planner, any financial advisor would tell any adult, you don't forego your retirement for your child's college education. That may sound crass, but the reality is this. If you start pulling money out of your 401k, and I know I'm speaking to somebody, you start pulling money out of your 401k, you start pulling money out of your retirement system, to pay for your child's college education. What happens if they never finish college? How are you going to pay for that, especially if they don't have a job that's going to actually take care of those student loans? So all those things have to be communicated with the child. I told one young person, I said, your mother doesn't have the money for college, and neither does your father. So if you want to go to school and this is what you want to do, you're saying that you want to go to college. They said, yes, sir. I said, you're going to have to do everything you can. You're going to get some scholarships, but you're going to have to go out there and find some other scholarships to help. But let me tell you what's going to happen or what has happened. I believe what has happened with that person I told that to, one of the parents decided they're going to take out a loan to pay the balance of what that college tuition is needed. So now that parent is now under debt. Are they going to be able to afford to do that every single year during the 4 years of that child's college education?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happens if something happens in their financial situation or their financial life where they're not able to do it after the second year? What do you tell that child then? The more debt you get, the lower your debt, the higher your debt-to-income ratio is. So I really want people to understand, you know, we can make these knee-jerk reactions if we want to. I'm not going to do it. Everybody knows, who knows me knows that that's not how I'm operating. But you can make the knee-jerk reactions like that, and then you're going to have to deal with the consequences. That's one of the reasons why we're talking about this on the show tonight. Sister D, did you have anything you wanted to go ahead and bring back forth with us?
I think when you were talking about the young man and the different options, lost my train of thought. I think being able to options is very key. And like I said, for parents, it does not take you having a college degree or higher education to know what options are out there, but I really think it takes just being plugged into somebody who can tell you what those options are, because one of the things that me and my husband talked about was the 529 college savings program, and you can get that information from, like, your local bank. And I think what's really good is that having options is really a blessing. You know, it really is, because you may not be able to maybe your first start for an option is to get a savings bond. And you just have, you know, maybe having family members, instead of, you know, children getting toys for birthday gifts or different things like that, maybe asking family members, or, you know, can you get my child a savings bond? Can you, you know, put money into their college savings program? And I, that's just something that me and my husband had looked at, you know, for our children. And I'm just like, I'm basically saying that I want to sacrifice $50 a month for all three of my children for their college education. And so I think having options and then knowing what's out there is very key, because a lot of times there are a lot of programs that we may not know about, but they're available to us. They're, I've seen, you know, I like Facebook because I've seen where people have posted about different scholarships that are out there. I think now I've seen more commercials now since I've graduated from undergrad about the different state programs that they have. Like, I know Georgia has the HOPE grant or something like that. North Carolina has one. So there's a lot of things that are out there, even for people that are in the military. You may want to check with, you know, your where your installation is at, because they have scholarships and different grants that your children can get for school, and they can apply for it every single year. And because a lot of people don't apply for them, your children are going to get these grants. Mm-hmm. Just by becoming a membership, if you're ever stationed at Fort Bragg, if you're ever stationed in 82nd Airborne Division, just by becoming a member of the 82nd Airborne Division, a lifetime membership, I think, is like $82, your children and your spouse are eligible for scholarships. So there are a lot of programs that are out there, but I like what you said, you know, that that his family did X, Y, and Z. And, I mean, when you look at, you know, parents having to get out a loan to help pay for their child's education, I think that parents, you know, there's definitely, they need to know what other information is available out there for them and their children so that they can make a better decision. And I speak from personal experience because, like I said, I got a student loan, and I also, my mother got a Parent PLUS loan, because the situation that happened with me was that my information, for whatever reason, I had gotten an academic scholarship. Went through a whole bunch of crap with my scholarship, not with the financial aid part, but with a professor that I had. Lost my scholarship. I was devastated. For my sophomore year, I had to my mom, she decided, I think one of the options was, well, you know, Miss Brown, you can get the student plus loan, I mean the parent plus loan. And I really was just like, well, you know, I do want to go to school, but I'm like, I don't want my mom to have to get this loan out for me, because I understood what that meant. And she ended up, she decided, she said, you know what, I'm going to do it. Well, I was the one, my mother said, here's the stipulation, you have to pay that back. So I was obligated to pay on that loan. And I had to pay $200 back on that loan. Now, some things happened, you know, with my mom financially, to where, because it was still in her name and it could not transfer to my name, that the obligation that I once had, I did not have it anymore, and I don't have it anymore. But I really want parents to really consider that if you get a parent plus loan, if you are, you need to understand that that loan is in your name, and that they're not going to come and call your child back. They're going to come and call you. And so if your child is not mature enough or responsible enough to pay that loan back, if you decide that you want them to pay it back, then understand that you're going to have to add in that monthly cost for that parent plus loan. And
that
I don't have
so
anything
good.
Else. That's it.
You're dropping the mic. You know, that is good. We need people to, you know, well, our desire is for people to really hear the things that are coming from everybody that's chiming in on this show, because it's truly, truly important. We're really going to hit home next week and for the weeks to come, dealing with planning to help encourage individuals in counting the costs and dealing with responsibility. And I think one of the other things we'll do as well, Adia, is we'll post up to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. We'll post some of these things that we've been talking about tonight. So individuals have the resources. That's what PRF is about. It's not about just giving information. It's about being able to help individuals by pointing them to the right resources. We don't have to have it all. We just got to be able to help with the information that we have. So we'll post some information on the website, on Facebook, about the 529 College Program, and also about the Parent Plus Loan. I think it's important that people read for themselves or get connected to somebody that has a good understanding about this, not in a manipulative way to say, hey, if you do this, you can get some extra money and get some money back on your refund, and do like the caller mentioned, you know, friends were buying cars. You know, that's, you know, 20 years is a long time to pay on a car that we know most people, I probably want to say 99% of people in the world, don't have a car for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get tired of it, we break it down. And the thing about a car is once it breaks down and you decide that you don't want it anymore, if you have a loan that you're paying on it, you're still obligated to it. And that's what's going to happen with the student loan. I'm sure that's what has happened. The person didn't keep the loan, keep the car for 20 years, but they had the student loan debt for 20 years. So they're still paying on something that they have no longer use for. So we have to do a better job at communicating to parents, communicating to students, especially our younger students. And then we really have to take a very big step towards trying to help those individuals that are in that student loan cycle, where the student loan is just sucking the life out of them, to being able to help them. And I think for me, it really goes back to community. What are we doing as a community? You know, if you have, let's take what the caller said, and let me backtrack before I speak too fast. If you have an institution like our caller mentioned, that is doing nothing, but they don't have the high, high graduation rate. They don't have anything dealing with job placement. You know, when you don't have that, I think it's worth the community saying, okay, what else are y'all doing for our children that they should go to this institution? You know, if the community doesn't speak up, if the community doesn't say anything, what else do you expect? I think the caller wants to add one more thing. Caller with the last 419-59, did you have something that you wanted to add?
I think it's exactly what both of you just spoke on. I think there's a two-part approach, which is one is individual accountability and then system accountability. On the individual accountability, there are a lot of states, Florida, Indiana, parts of Massachusetts, and those are only the communities I know, that have huge scholarship opportunities for students who sign up and are willing to get a C-plus or better average, you know, do the right thing, like where you can get in-state tuition that's absolutely hugely reduced. And so finding those programs and being diligent about asking who got a scholarship and how do I get a scholarship and where are their scholarships and Googling things is the individual piece. And I think on the system part, I think we have to push the system because, you know, I live in Massachusetts, so, you know, I was blessed to go to Harvard Law School. So Harvard Law School had a $21 billion endowment and doesn't pay an ounce of taxes. I went to Yale University, wow, undergraduate. Yale University at that point, New Haven, was really tough economically, not a lot of jobs, not a lot of economic security for most of the folks who lived in. But yet there was an institution that had an $18 billion endowment but didn't have to pay an ounce of taxes to actually pay back to help the community create jobs. And so I think we have a bold strategy, which is find your own pathway for your own child, which is great, but also push the system to say, should you really be having $20 billion stacked up in an endowment, not have to pay an ounce of taxes back to the community to help the community have the resources that it needs, whether for the school system or the other social systems that support us? Like, is that the right thing to do? And from my perspective, that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. They should be paying taxes in the communities that they live in to help those who live in those communities actually have a boost to have live better lives or have greater opportunities to live better lives.
That's good. And you know what I think? I think the fact that we have so many institutions that are online institutions, they get around that because there is no accountability to a community because you're online and nobody sees you. So
that's
in
right.
addition to the institutions that are what we call education, as you know, brick and mortar schools, you know, you got all these online institutions, and I'm not doubting them or knocking them. I'm only simply stating that what you were just talking about, they have to have no accountability, like you were just talking about, because they're like in the sky, and you can't reach anybody. There's nobody that you have to go to, that you're able to go to, that is right in front of your face that has to actually respond to you or respond to those questions. You don't know who it is behind the scenes. You just know that you're calling into a 1-800 number that's for, you know, satellite locations in 16 different cities around the country. And every time you call, you're reaching a different person. So I'm glad you brought that out, my friend. You know, two-part accountability. One is the institution, and the other is for the individual. I'll add a third part accountability to that. Institution, individual, and I have to say community because that's just, you know, that's just my DNA. A lot of times I think the individual may not have the knowledge or the information to know certain things. But if there is a institution that's in your community, I think the community has to band together because there has to be somebody in that community that knows this. What you just spoke about, I guarantee you there's somebody in my community that knows just what you just said. How come nobody is standing up saying, let's push University of Phoenix or let's push some of these other schools that are, you know, that have these endowments. Let's see if they have them, and let's see if they're not contributing back to the community and where we're sitting at. So I think y'all got us off to a good start tonight, and I think we're going to have, you know, several different shows after this. We thank everybody for tuning in with us. Come back next week. Next week we will be resuming back at our regularly scheduled time at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll continue on with the discussion. We're going to make sure that we, from now to next Wednesday or next Thursday, make sure that we get a lot of information on the website, a lot of information on the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Please go to it. Please ask your questions, pose your questions. You also can message us as well if you don't want to post anything. You don't want your name attached to it. That's perfectly fine. The main thing is that we just are able to have the opportunity to help you, able to have the opportunity to get the information out that that you want. And you can also email me at jr.dunlap8@gmail.com. So hopefully what we said tonight, you're able to get a little bit of freedom from the student loan debt situation. We're going to continue plugging forward. And until we meet you again next week, have a wonderful, wonderful night. And remember, we love you. God bless.
We want the power for the people. That's all we ask in our country, dear. The sick and the hungry are unable. Protect them and those who may live in fear. We as the young wish to say in this song, God bless great America. We give thanks to the old for achieving their goal. It is now up to us, and we know we must build up a trust. And we want the power for the people. That's all we ask in our country, dear. The sick and the hungry are unable. Protect them and those who may live in fear. Power for the people. Power for the people. Power for the people. Hardening crimes is a part of the times, and it's rough for some people to live. Disease can move fast, but it don't have to last. It is now the nation's turn for all to be concerned. We can be freer still. It is the people's will. And bring back the power for the people. That's all we ask in our country, dear. The sick and the hungry are unable. Protect them and those who may live in fear. Power for the people. Power for the people.